Isn't this a sports show?
Back to sports.
Thank you. Every caller.
Almost entirely.
Like, he is a bipartisan bleep talker. That's what I want to be when I grow up. I want to be known as a bipartisan bleep talker.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I gain energy by talking. I'm a plant in that way. My photosynthesis isn't with sunlight, it's with attention. I am bacterial.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
You know what they're probably not going to talk about on ESPN? Too many spider boys.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
People are about to destroy you on Twitter.
I know, I'm ready for it. Oh, but if you want to destroy me on Twitter, it's at JB Briscoe. Follow me, then destroy me.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Oh, God. Was this a Thursday? Happy game day, Kansas City! There's a real football game tonight! I hurt myself, though, running into the studio. We just have a lot of traffic on Thursdays because Sprott Takes is leaving as I'm trying to get in here. And then today I like had to unpack all my stuff and I was jumping around the desk and I just impaled myself with the corner of this desk. So my left thigh is in searing pain. Just like the New England Patriots will be in tonight. Oh, can I get an amen?
Amen!
Good work, Beards. This is a very exciting day. I'm just literally like, I hit my leg and I just yelled, ow! And I thought Beards might have already had my mic up at that point because I did not know how far into the intro music we already were. It's been that kind of.
I should have.
You should have. Oh no! And my laptop is dead, like dying, like moments left, and it's not plugged in. The power strip isn't on. Oh my goodness. And Beards just left the studio. Oh, Beards is back. Beards is back, and I was leaving again. I needed him. I needed Beards to be able to talk for literally 10 seconds. All right, the power strip was on, and the show is saved. It's game day, man. It's time. It's here, and I've been able to... Sorry, I had to go get my phone also. I've been able to talk myself in and out of this game a couple of times. I think there are a few things that the Chiefs can do to maximize their chances tonight, and that's where we're going to start with today's show. Later on, we're going to have, through the 5 o'clock hour, no, I'm sorry, we're going to have Matt Derrick at 4:30 and Brandon Kiley at 5:30. But at the front end here, there's some news from today, some sort of all-over stuff from today, and some things to look forward to. I'll give you my game predictions here at the beginning. We'll see if I get to the season predictions now. If not, I'll give them to you the 5 o'clock hour. But the Chiefs cut C.J. Spiller again today. And also Jordan Devi. There's a couple of vowels in there. The reason that those guys got cut is because both of their deals would be guaranteed if they were on the roster for week one. So if they come back tomorrow, they'll have the exact same deals in all likelihood, and it won't be guaranteed money. So that's the whole reason for all of that. I expect at least C.J. Spiller to be back tomorrow, which means he won't be able to play tonight, which is not exactly what you're looking for going into New England. But last time the Chiefs and Patriots played, I saw a tweet that said that the Chiefs only used two running backs. So... it'll be a lot of Kareem Hunt tonight and a good, healthy dollop of Tre'Kendrick West. That's the whole reasoning behind all of that. A couple of stats on either side of the field here that I think are both interesting. Adam Schefter tweeted that in season openers, the season after winning the Super Bowl, New England is 4-0 with an average margin of victory of 9 points per game. The Chiefs last year went 7-1 versus top 10 offenses. There's stats on either side that you can at least believe enough in to make this interesting. But tonight is going to be about some much more minute details. And I've been hinting this whole week, I might have explicitly said it a few times, I don't know, that I think the Patriots are going to win this game. And I will say now, I think the Patriots will win this game tonight. But I don't think it's over already. You're not going to find me in that camp. But I really also, I was listening to a couple of people sort of do predictions. I think it was a it wasn't even a podcast. It was like a Facebook video. I don't know. It was just people were giving their predictions on the game. And I realized how little that interests me. I want to know why you're going that way. And there are two things for the Chiefs on either side of the ball that I think are going to be fascinating and extremely important. I think the defensive side of the ball has me more optimistic than the offensive side for the Chiefs this week, which is kind of odd because they're playing the Patriots. But it's true. Ben Fennell, he's at BenFennell_NFL, had a tweet today that was very interesting, and it drives right into something I think is something I've been talking about a little bit for what I expect from this game tonight. He said, 2014 KC defense versus the Patriots, Hussein Abdullah was the single most important defender. Dime linebacker, run support, pressures, middle of the field coverage. And it goes back into that sort of hybrid mode. Also, where the Chiefs are playing nickel and dime defenses all night. We could see, I think we should see very little standard defense tonight, although I do hope the Chiefs play some man-to-man. But what that means tonight, that Hussein Abdullah role from 2014 when he was fantastic, those eyes now shift to Daniel Sorensen and Ron Parker. Now, for these things that Ben was pointing out, a run support guy, a guy who's kind of playing a safety linebacker hybrid, that's Daniel Sorensen. In fact, he got some snaps, some significant snaps last year, doing a substantial amount of that pseudo linebacker stuff, that sort of light linebacker. I expect tonight we're going to see him doing a lot of that. I expect that tonight we're going to see a healthy diet of Yukemi Oligwe and Kevin Pierre-Louis and a little less Ramiq Wilson. Because I'm at a point now with this Chiefs defensive line and with Derek Johnson in there and with Justin Houston in there that the Chiefs are going to have ways to stop the run game. Also, including moving to Daniel Sorensen as sort of that hybrid safety linebacker guy. I would be very surprised if tonight the Chiefs go out there and get run over by the Patriots running game. I don't expect to see that. And I really think the defense matches up pretty well here. Now, I have that concern about that right side cornerback spot. I have that concern about Terrence Mitchell's health, although I think Terrence Mitchell himself is a very good corner. So I have a little optimism there. Sam Mellinger wrote a really good article that I was reading this morning. He might have written it yesterday, but I read it today. And he had the phrase that Marcus Peters seems to get genuinely offended whenever a quarterback even looks in his direction. And I thought that was funny and based in some truth. The secondary has a lot of really good pieces. And now also, I said Daniel Sorensen and Ron Parker tonight. Those are going to be two of the names to watch very, very closely. Because again, think of Daniel Sorensen as playing kind of a light linebacker. And I would argue that you could see Ron Parker playing kind of a heavy nickel corner, if that makes sense. He's not actually some big burly dude in that usually quick spot. But that's how I think of it. Because I trust Ron Parker in that hybrid Hellraiser kind of role. I trust him to run with the slot guys, the slot receivers. I trust him to bust up screens. I trust him to get into the backfield and to kind of be a second guy on the edge of any sort of stretch run plays. I trust Ron Parker in that role. That's a role that I think we very often sort of click our minds over to Eric Berry on. But Eric Berry's doing a lot of that stuff in the middle of the field and also playing the ball. Ron Parker's also a very good play-the-ball safety. But I think we're going to see a lot of Daniel Sorensen in that safety linebacker hybrid role and a lot of Ron Parker in that safety corner hybrid role. And we're going to see a lot of Yukemi Oligwe and Kevin Pierre-Louis rotating in for Ramique Wilson and the rest of that defense as it rotates, so the Chiefs are able to try to eliminate as much of that underneath passing game as possible. And really, if there's going to be a way to slow down Rob Gronkowski over the middle, it's going to be in one of those fashions. It's going to be filling up that middle of the defense with quick, athletic linebackers. Guys who can hit Rob Gronkowski and who can also run with him. I think that's a reason that Kevin Pierre-Louis and Ukemi Eligwe make such sense on this defense. Ramique Wilson cannot defend Rob Gronkowski. He can hit him, but he can't defend him. Ramique Wilson is there for, I was going to say the Patriots running back's name, but there are literally three of them. So, good luck. He's there for the run game. And he's good at it. I like Ramique Wilson in that, as we all say, downhill thumper role. But that's on the defensive side of the ball. Keep an eye on Daniel Sorensen. Keep an eye on Ron Parker. Watch what the Chiefs do defensively. That isn't three down linemen, four linebackers, cornerback, cornerback, safety, safety. Look beyond that front seven, four defensive backs set up, because that's going to happen, I would say, certainly less than half the time. I think the Chiefs tonight will spend less than half of their snaps in their base defense. That also draws me into my biggest hope for this game. What about this team, this roster, the situation, what gets me hopeful? Or to do this in the format that I've been asking our guests this week, if the Chiefs win tonight, it will be because blank. I think for me, I would finish that sentence with, or I would make that sentence, if the Chiefs win tonight, it's going to be because of Justin Houston and Dee Ford. And this isn't also any sort of wish upon a star. I'm not rubbing a magic lamp for this. This is not an unrealistic thing to root for. So I say biggest hope that is realistic and would be enough to win this game, I think. It's realistic because if we see Justin Houston and Dee Ford look like we've seen them look at their best, I will take my chances everywhere else. Truly. If you said you get one unit on this team, one purpose on this team that you are willing to put all your chips on, you can guarantee that this version or this facet of the game is going to go in the Chiefs' favor. I would say, give me as good as they can get Justin Houston and Dee Ford. And really, the runner-up to that might be, give me the best defensive line performance of the year. Because Benny Logan has a chance to run right up into Tom Brady's face. Rakeem Nunez-Roches has had some incredible looks. Alan Bailey looks like a monster every now and again.
Alan Bailey is a monster.
Alan Bailey is a literal monster now and again. Chris Jones looks like an all-pro defensive end whenever he looks at his best. I mean, Derek Johnson has been an all-pro linebacker. Ramique Wilson has looked really good. I already talked about the fact that we're not going to see all those guys on the field at the same time very often. But again, the reason that I have hope about this game, the place where I really can say, well, if this is the best realistic scenario the Chiefs will win, it's with that front seven looking as good as it can. Again, not as good as not as good as humanly possible. Not as good as all of them getting NFL Street-style game breakers every play. Just as good as they can be. The problem with all those guys is the consistency. And if that front seven pushes up against their own ceiling, nothing the Patriots do is going to matter. That front seven, I do genuinely think, at its best, can make you a Super Bowl contender. Here's my biggest fear for tonight. That's my biggest hope. Here's my biggest fear. I really don't want to come back here tomorrow at 4 o'clock, sit down here, and say, man, if Alex Smith could have just hit Tyreek Hill, gone to Travis Kelce more, made that last pass, not thrown that pick. I really, really do not want to come in here tomorrow and say those things. That's my biggest fear. That's the thing that I dread the most. Because if the Chiefs just get beat, all right, they stay where they are. If the Chiefs lose in anything but embarrassing fashion tonight, we're not going to think very differently of them tomorrow. It'll be about the same. So yeah, they're a really good team. Probably the third best team in the AFC West. Or in the AFC, excuse me. Freudian slip. I don't think that's really Freudian. If I said that they're the third best team in the AFC West, that would have been a Freudian slip. It's a pretty good joke. Beard shrugged when I said, that's a pretty good joke. He shrugged at me.
6 out of 10.
That's fine. But if they lose tonight in anything but embarrassing fashion, we're going, oh yeah, third best team in the AFC West. AFC, I did it again. Third best team in the AFC. If they win tonight, I do think there is some room for reassessing this team a little bit. But it depends on how they win. If they win because Alex Smith goes out there and balls out, if he goes out there and he's taking deep shots and he's looking like a different quarterback we've ever seen before, if he's looking like the best possible Alex Smith we've ever seen, all right, fine. Let's reassess this season. Maybe Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce being out there at the same time blows everything up. I hope so. I really do. I talk about Patrick Mahomes on a daily basis. It's been credit for him. I would much rather go through this season going, man, Alex Smith, look at that. Look at Alex Smith. And they trade him next year and they start the Mahomes experience. That's fine. Like, I would happily take an all-pro season from Alex Smith this year. I just don't expect it. And that's the thing. That's the thing also where I get in, like, these little Twitter fights. I don't hate Alex Smith. I hope he plays well. I just don't expect him to be something we've never seen before. What did you just give me, Beards? What was that?
Patriots place wide receiver Malcolm Mitchell on IR with knee injury.
Interesting. They just traded for Philip Dorsett, so that he'll probably step into that role. The Patriots lose two receivers for the year. That's not great. Tom Brady's going to make somebody look fantastic. That is interesting. So, whenever we look at the offense for this game tonight, I have the fear with Alex Smith. I don't want to look back on this game and think about how Alex Smith cost them. I don't want to live like that. But so, what's going to have to happen offensively for this team to actually contend in this game? I think the defense has it all there. We'll see some Daniel Sorensen, some Kevin Pierre-Louis Akimiligwe, Ron Parker special stuff. We'll see them do some interesting things defensively. That's not really my concern, strangely. what happens offensively. Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill are going to demand every type of coverage. And what I think probably happens is that Bill Belichick walks out there and he says, we're going to put bracket coverage on Travis Kelce. We're going to have a safety cheat over to Tyreek Hill's side. Bleep you, beat us with Chris Conley. And the Chiefs will have a chance to. The Chiefs will have a chance to win this game with Tyreek Hill, hopefully, whenever Alex Smith is willing to take those shots. I think they're going to have a limited shot at getting the ball to Travis Kelce because I tend to think that's how the Patriots will play this. I don't know that. If Travis Kelce has a big game, I'm not going to come back and go, oh, I'm a dope. It's just what I expect currently. Would be for Tyreek Hill to get a couple of looks. And that's all he's ever going to get, by the way, guys. Tyreek Hill is only ever going to get a few open looks a game. And it's going to be on Alex Smith to see them and to hit them. Travis Kelce is going to be roaming around, hopefully getting his. But I think that the couple of guys who are going to likely swing this game are going to have to be Kareem Hunt and Chris Conley. Because if Belichick does largely neutralize, and you can only neutralize great players so much, but you also get a little bit of a gun-shy quarterback out there, it's a little easier. So if they piece together this bracket coverage, the safety help for Kelce and Hill, respectively, you really limit what Alex Smith is willing to do in double coverage. Then it's about getting the run game going and Chris Conley winning one-on-one matchups. And I'll tell you what, I'm not especially confident in Chris Conley's ability to win one-on-one matchups. He doesn't create the kind of separation that you have to create consistently to be a great wide receiver. I do think he does a pretty good job of creating separation with his body because he's a big physical dude, and he'll toe tap it at the sideline and go get it. But he doesn't create separation with his speed or with super precise route running or with fantastic breaks and acceleration out of that. He doesn't leave defensive backs behind him very often. At least not enough space and often enough for Alex Smith's liking. Which is frankly, that's how you have to judge this whole thing. And you can never blame a game on one player. There's always options to look around and go, oh, well, if this changes or this changes. But it does all run through the quarterback. Which is why I think Alex Smith is the most important offensive player this year. Everybody we talked to so far this week has given me different answers. We got Kelce and Hill and Kareem Hunt and Alex Smith. I think Alex Smith is the most important guy on this offense because everything runs through him. So I'm hopeful for the front seven. The front seven has a genuine, legitimate chance to take over this game. I'm afraid that the offense, as it runs through Alex Smith, won't take enough of the risks that it needs to take. I'm afraid that Hill and Kelce will be limited enough to scare Alex Smith away. I'm afraid that this offense doesn't have a good enough third weapon to make Alex Smith feel safe in using him consistently, which is kind of a silly way to phrase it, but it's simply how Alex Smith generally plays. I don't trust right now Chris Conley or DeMarcus Robinson or Albert Wilson to be a guy to capitalize on a bunch of one-on-one coverage. Kareem Hunt in his first NFL game being expected to really carry the load, that concerns me. So here's what I think happens. Here's the prediction. I think the Patriots win. I think they win, I'm going to say 23-17. The defense digs in. The defense holding the Patriots 23 points, which should be enough. And I think, frankly, the Chiefs are going to be kind of held at arm's length throughout the game, where the Patriots eventually take a lead and then just sort of just at an arm's length throughout the game. They stay ahead. Maybe the Chiefs score late, try an onside kick, and don't get it. I think the defense is good enough. I think the offense can't capitalize on enough. That's my feel for where we're going today.
Just for some extra information,
sure.
Via Bleacher Report, Patriots have covered 8 games in a row up to this point.
Also, I think the stat is that Tom Brady has never lost a home game against an AFC opponent in which he's played all 4 quarters.
Huh.
Which is, if true,
scary.
Bleeping nuts.
Yeah.
Completely insane. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll talk to Matt Derrick whenever we come back, see where he's at for the game tonight and also for the rest of the season going forward. I'll give you my season predictions, probably the top of the 5 o'clock hour, and then we'll have Brandon Kiley at 5:30. We will get you ready. This whole show is getting you ready for tonight, which makes sense because that's what this show has kind of been for the last, like, 2 months, I guess. But now it's actually here!
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I have a comically large head.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
Welcome back to Almost Entirely Sports here on ESPN Kansas City, 99.3 FM and 1510 AM. I have given you my perspective on where tonight's game is going to go. So now, what better to go do now than here for Matt Derrick? Matt Derrick joins us now. He's on Twitter, at Matt Derrick. He is the Chiefs beat writer and publisher of ChiefsDigest.com. And I've ended up accidentally talking to Matt, like, way too often in the last week or so. Not that it's a bad thing, Matt. It just feels like it's also been a lot, you know?
No, that's always a good thing when we run into each other.
I agree. I agree with that. But eventually I go, I wonder if, like, we should start paying Matt to be, like, a recurring guest. And I go, oh, that's right. We don't even pay Beards. Like, Beards is here working off some significant student loan debt, which I feel like doesn't even actually touch his wallet. So it's just not in the budget now, Matt. I'm sorry. I know you've asked me about that several times. But
oh, it'll happen one day. Trust me.
Yeah, I listen, like, don't hold your breath. Like, keep buying a Chick-fil-A breakfast, but don't expect this show to ever fund it. Oh, God. Okay, so listen, there's a game tonight. There's a football game being played this
evening.
There's a game. I've heard reports of that. You confirmed that earlier today that there is, in fact, a football game being played tonight. And I'm curious, very broadly first, and then we'll narrow down again, how are you feeling about tonight's game?
I was feeling pretty good about the Chiefs' chances here and everything like that. But I'll tell you what, I don't know if you've heard. This might be breaking news and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But the New England Patriots won the Super Bowl last year.
Holy, here, just look that up.
And in case you didn't know, and they're going to have a big party here.
Right.
And they've been rehearsing the party all afternoon. So we've been hearing about the comeback and the Tom Brady playing at a level I've never seen before in the history of the National Football League.
Yeah.
So you hear that enough, you start to second-guess yourself.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, I actually like the Chiefs' chances tonight. I think that they – I think it's more of a just an intangibles thing.
Mm-hmm.
I can't necessarily point to you to any place on this roster where, you know, that the Chiefs have a dramatic edge, especially at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you what, the Chiefs have had this thing circled for 5 months now.
Right.
This is the game that they've been targeting, and they've talked nothing but this game. They've been working on this game at every practice virtually since April, and I think that that's going to come through tonight. I mean, I think you're going to see a really good slugfest tonight between these two teams. I'm not necessarily mean high scoring.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just talking about, say, watching Andy Reid and Bill Belichick knocking heads against each other. I think it's going to be a good show.
So if the Chiefs do win tonight, what do you think the main reason for that will be?
Well, they're going to turn the ball over, and Tyreek Hill is going to be making some plays. I mean, I think those are the two biggest things. I'm very curious to see how the Chiefs come out, because we've seen now with them going up against the Patriots a couple of times now, we've seen them take different approaches. And in the playoff game, I think you almost have to throw away a little bit about what the Chiefs did, because they had one hand tied behind their back the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't healthy on defense. They weren't healthy on offense. And they still almost played themselves into that game. I go back to the 41-14 pacing. And
right.
if the Chiefs can come out with the defensive front that they played in that game and the intensity and getting the pass rush, because they hit Brady in that game. And if they can do that tonight, that's going to be the difference in this game.
I agree. I said earlier this hour that if there were two guys that I could just like guarantee that would play to their highest level, not to a superhuman level, not that they are cyborgs tonight, just they play as well as we've seen them play, I think it would probably be Dee Ford and Justin Houston. Those are two guys that we haven't seen be at their best, for Justin Houston in almost 2 years, and for Dee Ford since halfway through last season. I think they have a ceiling that if they play to it, Tom Brady's going to have a really long night, especially with all of the talent on that defensive line now.
Yeah, and I think that's a really interesting key, because you're right. I mean, we have seen Dee Ford and Justin Houston on the field at the same time, but we have not seen these two guys healthy on the field together
right.
at the same time.
Right.
And I think that's going to be a difference. I think it's going to mean a change for this defense. I think it's going to allow them to do things that they could not do last year. It's going to allow them to really kind of pack in a little bit more against the run in the middle, which they didn't do last year. I think they've got different personnel for playing the run that they didn't have last year. Really, I think the only concern that you've got to have from a defensive standpoint is just how they are going to address the situation on the right side without mm-hmm. Steven Nelson.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is something else that we were talking about a little bit earlier. Somebody had a tweet going back to that last game between the Chiefs and Patriots where Hussein Abdullah had a tremendous game, and he was playing a lot of that sort of like safety linebacker hybrid role, which this year seems like it's lined up pretty well for Daniel Sorensen to do some of that. I think Ron Parker has an argument to make for playing a kind of safety slot corner role that we've seen him play before. And then Terrence Mitchell appears to be back at full health to take care of that outside corner spot. How would you manage that current weakness?
Well, I think you kind of got it right there. And I think that's where the Chiefs will end up going, because the safety group is without a doubt one of the strongest units on this team. But that safety group might be the best safety unit in the entire NFL.
Agreed.
I mean, I'd put them up with almost anybody, especially as far as their depth goes.
Mm-hmm.
And Sorensen is definitely one of those guys that can give you different looks. I mean, I think he plays the pass and the run almost equally as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's not necessarily on the level of a Barry and a Parker, but just what he can do and his versatility. I think that gives you an opportunity that if you can have Barry and you've got Parker and in their roles, and we see a lot of Daniel Sorensen coming in there and playing that, you're right, that hybrid linebacker and everything. I think that when the three of them are on the field, they've got a pretty good flexible defense that can play run or pass pretty equally.
How do you feel about the offensive side of the ball? Because the common wisdom for the Patriots is that Bill Belichick will take away your best weapon, maybe your best two. Again, just sort of where I'm at with it is I think there's a very good chance we see a lot of bracketing on Travis Kelce, that we see a safety try to help cover Tyreek Hill, and then it becomes, in large part, a Kareem Hunt, Chris Conley experience. Do you agree with that look at it? And also, how would you feel about getting to a Chris Conley-led offense?
Well, you're right. That's the conventional wisdom, is that that's what Bill Belichick's defense likes to do, is it takes away your weapon and makes your supporting guys beat you. What I think Andy Reid's been spending the last 6 months working on is finding ways to get his playmakers away from New England's defense. And I think that, you know, with some of the things that we saw at the training camp and everything, I see a lot of creativity that they've been working on as far as trying to find different ways to get Tyreek Hill the ball and to free up Travis Kelce, because it's going to be very difficult to bracket both those guys.
Right.
I mean, you're kind of going to have to pick your poison to a degree. But, you know, Andy Reid's not going to just sit there this offense and say, hey, here's my two best guys. I'm going to let you take them out of this game. I think he's going to do whatever he can scheme around Belichick to get those guys into unusual places where he can get them the ball and make plays.
Where are you right now, Matt?
I am in the press box, and you can probably hear they've been doing the rehearsals this afternoon. They were just doing the national anthem rehearsal.
Yes. Beards looked at me at one point and pointed at his headphones and he mouthed the words national anthem. And then I was just trying to figure out who's singing the national anthem to see who we just got a private concert from over the phone, and I don't recognize this woman's name, if this is who it actually is.
I read it earlier, and it was someone who I'd never heard of. So okay, that could mean that.
Is it Maren Morris? Does that ring a bell?
That's exactly who it is. So I'm assuming, since I've never heard of her, she's probably a big country singer.
That's also exactly my guess. But New England feels like kind of a weird place to break out the country, right?
Well, they're going to be having a performance by Flo Rida here before the game too. So
fantastic! Listen, if there's anything that I desperately need in my life, it's more Flo Rida.
And they're going to be playing a generous helping of sounds like Jump Around during the celebration too. So
great!
If you can check that out on NFL Network, I encourage you to see what a Super Bowl celebration looks like, because it will probably make you sick.
Also, Maren Morris is a Grammy Award-winning country singer, according
to
Nashville. There it is. Yeah, that's a good call. I have no idea who this is. Like, usually at this point, if someone's won a Grammy, I like music and I like pop culture. Usually, if someone wins a Grammy, I can see their face and say, I recognize that face, or I hear the voice, I recognize that voice, or I see a song title, I recognize that song title. I have nothing on Maren Morris. This person is a complete stranger to me.
You know, and the NFL, I mean, unless it's the Super Bowl and everything, they do have usually some big stars and everything. And oftentimes they're like, you know, local flavor. I mean, you know, you drag out Melissa Etheridge for a Chiefs, you know, game or something of that nature. But you would think that for the kickoff of the entire season, yeah, I mean, you would think it would be somebody with multiple Grammys.
Yeah, you'd think that, like, no. Train would end up doing the national anthem, and you would still be like, ooh, was that? Ooh, okay, all right, guys, fine. It's
okay, that's
fine.
Maybe a step backwards. But.
Perhaps, but that seems like what it would be. Like, if you would have said, hey, bet your life right now, who's singing the national anthem? I'd go, I guess, I don't know, Train? Keith Urban, maybe? I don't know. I don't know why Train and Keith Urban are my go-tos. Whatever. God, I have completely forgotten the next thing I was going to ask you. Oh, what do you think about the AFC West this year? How do you feel about the teams at their current, like, hype levels, and what's your 1-4 standings prediction?
My 1-4 is probably going to be pretty close to what it was last year. I mean, that's how I kind of see it at this point. I really am interested in the Chargers.
Me too.
Because I think they've got a lot of talent. If they actually pack that soccer stadium, I think it could be an interesting environment.
Agreed.
But the Chargers, if they just can avoid bad luck, if they can avoid injuries and avoid these just devastatingly close losses and fluke nature early in the season, if they get some momentum, I think that's a team that can put together a nice season. The Broncos, I just don't see what they're putting together. Mm-hmm. I think their defense is worse than it was a year ago. I see this quarterback mess just becoming a quagmire by the end of the season. If you tell me that they're going to pick one quarterback and he's going to play all 16 games, then yeah, I mean, I think, you know, 9-7, 8-8 is a possibility. But if they start switching out quarterbacks, this thing could get ugly in a hurry. I do like the Raiders. I mean, I think they've got some problems, especially on the defensive side of the ball, stopping the pass. But they've, at this point, shown the ability to outscore just about anybody except the Chiefs.
Right, right.
Bob Sutton has Derek Carr's number. As long as he keeps doing that, then I think the Chiefs can still put the stranglehold on this division.
Give me a 1-4 that I can hold you accountable to.
I'm going Chiefs, Raiders, probably Broncos and Chargers, but I could flip those two very easily.
And then what do you think about the season projections for the Chiefs? You have them winning the AFC West, obviously. If you had to give me a record in mind.
I'm going 11-5. That's what I posted on the site today. I think it's going to be an interesting way to get there. Because, like I said, I think I like their chances tonight. But I think that also makes next week's game against Philadelphia kind of tricky. Because I think there could be a hangover. And I think this team, the early part of the schedule, I think is going to be tough enough that, I mean, if they're sitting at 5-4 through the first 9 weeks of the season, I think that's going to be in pretty good shape, because they can really roll to the back end of the schedule.
Agreed.
And I don't see them really losing. I mean, the worry that you have to have at the end of the season is that the Chiefs have found a way to lose an inexplicable home game at some point.
Yep.
And Tennessee is not on the schedule this year,
right.
But that Miami Dolphins game worries me.
Yes.
Because that's the kind of game that the Chiefs have been losing the last few years at home.
Adam Teicher had them in his set of predictions. He had the Chiefs losing that Dolphins game. And
I've got them losing it too.
It's that, and maybe they still win in Dallas or whatever. It's just it's a mess. I looked at the schedule, and I always go like, God, this is not it's not a friendly schedule. And I know everybody in the AFC West has a difficult path, but like the Raiders and I. God, if I was a more organized person, I'd be able to say this for sure. But the Raiders don't have to deal with a bunch of these road games that the Chiefs have to deal with. Oh, hold on. Here we go. I've found it and then lost it again. Damn. The Raiders. Oh, here we go. I found it again. Look at me. God, I juggle this show so well. The Raiders don't have the Steelers at all. They have New England at home. They have the Cowboys and the Giants at home. Those are all road games for the Chiefs. So, That's a thing that does give me a little extra pause, that a couple of those really difficult games that might determine the division would bend in the Raiders' favor. But that's
that is an advantage, and I think that the most difficult game on the Chiefs' schedule, even beyond this game tonight and dismissing the Steelers too, it's going to Oakland on a Thursday night. That has never been a good idea for the Chiefs. They just do not play well. You know it's going to rain. Yeah. It's going to just be an absolute debacle of a game. And that's the toughest. That's the one I think that they're almost certain to lose.
I agree. Road teams on Thursday night always are an underdog. But especially going, they go at Houston, Pittsburgh at home, then to Oakland on a Thursday. I think it sets up well for the Monday night game the next week because the Chiefs will have an extra long week, Thursday to Monday, going against the Broncos. But and at home, no less. But I agree, that game seems like a loss already.
That's tough. And you know, the other really, there's a lot of quirks to this Chiefs schedule. You know, one of them is that they only play one Sunday noon kickoff until week 10.
Yeah.
And then they've got a bunch in November, December. But that's kind of quirky. Another thing is that they never play back-to-back road games without a break. I mean, they've got one, San Francisco went around the bye, but they've got that bye week and everything. So they never have to go on the road back-to-back weeks, which is usually a really tough thing for teams to do. So there are some things favoring them in this schedule.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. That Thursday night game is the one that stands out as the loss. But everything else, you're right. There are arguments to be made. Okay, Matt, give me a final score tonight and a one-sentence prediction to accompany it.
I am going to go Chiefs 27, Patriots 24.
Okay.
And it's turnovers and sacks lead the way.
Matt, I appreciate it as always. God, if the Chiefs score 27 points tonight, tomorrow's show will be so pleasant if the Chiefs score 27 points tonight.
And if they don't, I will be mocked and ridiculed widely throughout Kansas City.
I'm looking really quick to see if you have the highest margin of a Chiefs victory here. I think you have them scoring the most points of anyone that I've talked to this week. So yes, currently you are the most likely to be mocked tomorrow relentlessly.
And if I'm right, I will be worshipped all over.
Actually, we'll just forget to bring it up.
Yeah, it's probably that way. That's how it usually works.
I appreciate it as always.
Anytime, Josh.
It's Matt Derrick at Matt Derrick on Twitter, ChiefsDigest.com.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Sorry for the long pause. I had to sneeze.
With Joshua Briscoe.
I'm still allergic to everything in the air. Spring and summer are Satan's seasons.
On ESPN Kansas City.
The weather has been great, and now it's going to be like 80 degrees again for the rest of the week, and it's so upsetting. I loved it yesterday. Yesterday was so good. Bia, did you have a hot weather take?
I've got the allergies now.
Oh, really? Oh, man. I don't want that back. All right, we have a little bit of time here before we get to the top of the next hour, and I will expand on this, but I want to give the in-a-nutshell version of my season-long predictions in case this is the last thing that some of you hear before the game actually starts. I think the Chiefs and the Raiders are both going to win 10, 11, or 12 games, but when you're working on such fine margins as that, which we're perpetually doing whenever we make these full-season predictions for these teams, the difference between a 12-win season and a 9-win season is pretty minimal. As I mentioned with Matt, I think top to bottom that the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC West right now, but the Raiders have a few of those scheduling advantages. They don't have to deal with the Steelers. They have New England at home. They get the Cowboys and the Giants at home. Those are advantages for Oakland. So I struggled up and down the schedule, but I can't really justify giving the Raiders less than 10 wins right now. And that's what I'm giving to the Chiefs. So I think the Chiefs and Raiders rely on tiebreakers with that AFC West. I'll take the Chargers over the Broncos, both in that 8-8 range. Maybe the Chargers pick up the 9th and the Broncos get stuck at 7. But right now, that's my ranking for the AFC West. I think the Chiefs are the best team in it, but I think the Raiders have a few advantages in the division. Whenever we come back, we have an extra hour of show to go. We'll talk to Brandon Kiley at 5:30, and before that, we'll look ahead to more of this season and then also tonight's game as the Chiefs and Patriots kick off the NFL season.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.